Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
Tonight, I want to share briefly with us on Christian responsibility. Because I've come to discover that the things that don't really appear powerful are the real powerful things in spiritual work. Sometimes you think it's knowing the deep things, the mysteries, and what we call mysteries are complex issues. We think sometimes knowing those is what beautifies our lives. And we have labored and labored and labored and curated so many of them. Yeah, things are not changing. If you will pay attention to basics, I'm not saying the advanced things are not important, but if you will pay attention to basics, you will see how fast your life will change. And so, responsible Christianity is very important, and if you study your Bible, there is a strong advocacy for Christians and believers to become responsible. So you need to know what it means to be responsible. You need to know the areas or the dimensions where God expects you to be responsible. You need to know what it takes to be responsible and then live responsibly, so that your life does not only improve, but so that your life becomes a blessing to others. And so very quickly, let's read a few scriptures to let you know that I'm not the one advocating for responsible Christianity. This is the doctrine of scriptures. Ephesians 5, verse 15 to 17. One of the discoveries you will make as a believer is that nothing we are begging God for, nothing, not one, that has not been made available. It says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. So anybody who is not walking responsibly, conscious of the times that we are in, the Bible said his description is that of a fool. Anybody who is walking responsibly, conscious of the time that we are in, the Bible said his disposition is that of the wise. Seeing then that we walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Verse 16, we read to 17. Redeeming. Who is on the... If that person needs energy, can somebody help him with local Z boost? Because it's obvious that the worship and the prayer didn't do much. Maybe what he's looking for is ATP. If they're redeeming the times, because the days are evil. Second emphasis. If you are not responsible, you are not just considered foolish. It's that you are setting yourself up for destruction. Because we are living in a time when your challenge of irresponsibility is not just the things that you have not done and the implication it has on you. There are forces trying to destroy you. So you must be responsible. If you don't have enemies, irresponsibility can destroy you. But it's telling you that you have enemies. That even if you are hardworking, you will need grace. So if you are not even responsible, it means you are in trouble. This is double jeopardy. Verse 17. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So what's the will of God? That you live circumspectly. Give it to me on the Amplified Classic. Let's look for other words. Therefore, see that you walk carefully, living life with honor, purpose, courage, shunning those who tolerate and enable evil. Not as unwise, but as wise, sensible, intelligent, discerning people. Sensible, intelligent, discerning people. He said, making the very most of your time on earth, recognizing and taking advantage of each opportunity, using it with wisdom and diligence, because the days are filled with evil. Therefore, do not be foolish and thoughtless, but understand and firmly grasp what the will of the Lord is. This is the admonishment of scriptures. I heard Dr. Pastor Paul sharing recently. He said, you are going to bed to rest. He said, the question is, from what? What did you do? What reasonable thing have you done in the day that warrants rest? Okay, what are you resting from? He said, you wake up, you want to eat. For what? What do you want to deploy the energy for? He said, it's like filling your tank with fuel and puncturing it and it leaks out and you'll fill it again. We want to eat. Man must work. Work for what purpose, sir? You have been working without impact. Walk circumspectly. Admonishment of scriptures. Galatians 6 verse 4 to 5. Please write these scriptures down. Be deliberate about transformation. Fight for your life to change. He said, but let every man prove his own work, and then he shall have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Next verse. For every man shall bear his own burden. So if you are not responsible, don't start accusing people of being callous tomorrow. This world has become wicked. They don't even care about anybody. Ogata, do you care about yourself? You don't care about yourself. What makes you feel somebody else will care about you? You are where you are because of the decisions you have made over time. Now, you don't care about yourself. Why are you accusing people of not caring about you? And I'm not saying people should be callous. But it says, every man will bear his own body. So every area of your life where you are irresponsible, when the repercussion comes, prepare your shoulders. You will carry it. If God shows mercy, brings intervention, thank him for his name. But be ready to bear your body. Glory to God. Let's see that in the Amplified Classic. I think I love the set of words that they curate in some of these scriptures. Go to verse 4. It said, but each one must carefully scrutinize his own work, examining his actions, attitude, and behavior. And then he shall have personal satisfaction and inner joy of doing something commendable without comparing himself to another. So he's saying, if you are responsible in what you do, you will appreciate it. Most times we are focusing on people, other people's success and exploits. And we are condemning ourselves, pitying ourselves. God, why am I here? Look at this person. Look at that. He's saying, no. Whatever God has committed to your trust, if you are responsible in it, it will bring you sufficient joy and satisfaction. And that joy will be so palpable that you won't bother about the exploits of other people. Either to envy them or to compete with them. Verse 5. For every person will have to bear with patience his own burdens of fault and shortcoming for which he alone is responsible. We need to wake up. Sometimes it looks as if our preaching of grace has made irresponsible Christians in different aspects of their lives. And I'm not saying we should not speak of the superfluous benevolence of God. But we must understand that in this Christendom, everything grace provides, grace also enables you to be responsible to access them. Because God is not just interested in meeting your needs. He wants to make you. And at least you understand that gold is refined in fire. The best of you can't come out unless you take certain responsibilities. If there's no pressure, there can be no glitter. And so this irresponsible generation is heading for destruction. And if we are not careful to emphasize these things in black and white, we will end up raising more atheists than we'll raise disciples. Because by the time they are running with, I don't need to do anything, I don't need to do anything, and reality dawns on them in 5 years, 10 years, they will begin to blame the gospel. And it's not because the gospel is not powerful. It's because those who taught it wrongly. 1 Timothy 4:12. This is scriptures admonishing us with caution and emphasis on repercussion. Let no one look down on you because of your youth. But, you know, we quote, let no man despise you because of your youth. If and only if you are responsible. If you are not responsible, everybody is permitted to look down on you. Let no man look down on you because of your youth, but be an example and set a pattern for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in moral purity. So, it is showing you the need for responsibility or responsible Christian living. Titus 2, verse 6 to 8. In a similar way, urge the young men to be sensible and self-controlled and to be wisely and to behave wisely, taking life seriously. Tell the young people to be sensible, self-controlled, and behave wisely, taking life seriously. Some people are too careless with life. Irresponsible about everything, yet hoping that one day it go better. The biggest shock of your life is what time will bring to you in the future. That nothing gets better with time. Everything gets better based on the values you put in by reason of discipline. Then the intervention of God. Next verse. Verse 7. Go to verse 7 first. And in all things, show yourself to be an example of good works. With purity, in doctrine, having the strictest regard for integrity and truth, dignified, verse 8, sound and beyond reproach in instructions, so that the opponent of the faith will be shamed, having nothing bad to say about us. Strictest regard for integrity. So you are not just being responsible. It's that you are being responsible at the highest standard. That even if you are probed, they won't find fault. Luke 6:10. And this is where Jesus caps it up. If you are not faithful in little, you are not faithful in much. That means there is no promotion for an irresponsible Christian. Your promotion is tied to your responsibility. After looking around at them all, he said, Luke 16:10, forgive me. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty. Sing that song for me. Who has a good voice there? Anointed one. All of you sing now. Don't you have? They are looking around.
Almighty, who was and is and is to come. Let the peace of the Lord God Almighty, who reigns forever. Let the peace of the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty,
who reigns forever.
Is that who you? He who is faithful in a very little thing is also faithful in much. And he who is dishonest in very little things is also dishonest in much. So everything we pray for is at the mercy of what we are doing with what we currently have. If we are not responsible with what we currently have, we better stop wasting our time praying for the things that we don't have. Because the way God vets you and qualifies you for promotion is by assessing you based on what you are currently doing. This is why responsibility is too paramount. You can find 1,001 scripture that admonishes believers to be responsible.
To come, blessed be the Lord God Almighty.
Thank you, Father. Two things I'll be doing tonight quickly is, number one, show us what it takes to be responsible as a spiritual man. And then number two, to show you areas of your life where you must be deliberate about being responsible if your life will be impactful and if you will make a difference in your generation. I was teaching in a school with a young man, a bit older than me those days, and both of us were chemistry teachers. He will come when we sit in the lab during our free period, and he will be talking. Look at this pastor. He said, this head you are seeing, now we pack the blocks, we build that church. He said, we carry the blocks that built that church. See where he is now. See where we are. I wanted to blame the pastor, but I looked at this brother's life. I said, no, this pastor is innocent. We come to the office before 8. I think Jude knows the man. This guy comes to the office by 8. He's already smelling of alcohol. And then he has said, even the alcohol, at least there are some alcohol that I'm talking dry gin. This one that they put short. Before 8, the guy has taken it. The stench is much. And they will come like that, smelling alcohol. Students even know. That's the best in blaming pastor. So sometimes, I know there are many people who don't care about people. But when people talk, look at their lives, you will see the answer there. A point came, the principal had to drive him away from the school. This guy is very intelligent. Stench of alcohol in the morning, but is looking for everybody to blame. How can How can such a person go forward? Forget about church first. Even if he were to be in an oil company, what will you hand over to such a person? Where can he fit into? Gross irresponsibility. And that's one of the biggest plagues of this generation. And so I will itemize what it takes to be responsible, and then I will show you the areas where a believer is expected to be responsible. But very quickly, when we speak of responsibility in spiritual context, what are we talking about? It simply means living intentionally, faithfully, and accountably. Responsibility or responsible living means living intentionally, faithfully, and accountably before God and before others, reflecting the character of Christ and advancing the kingdom of God. Living intentionally, faithfully, and accountably before God and before man, reflecting the character of Christ and advancing the frontiers of the kingdom. Responsible Christianity may not necessarily be sinless perfection. No. But it speaks of faithfulness, progressive maturity and growth. So when you find a responsible Christian, he is maturing on a daily basis. He is growing on a daily basis. And it shows in the intentionality with which he does what he does. People who are irresponsible, they are not intentional. They keep needing motivation. Somebody wrote recently, put motivation, put discipline. Mark discipline and faith motivation. Because motivation is important, but it's spontaneous. People who live by motivation, their life is up and down, up and down, up and down. Any week they are motivated, they are burning with zeal. But any week there's no motivation, they can go down and destroy even what they built the previous week. So we are not talking about motivated living. Those days when I was growing up, they said if you motivate an idiot, you have a motivated idiot. These were the philosophies some of us were raised with. So even idiots can be motivated. So we are not talking motivation. That's why even preaching, when preaching becomes about motivation, you'll see people excited only in church. Check them out in life. They have nothing to show. So we are talking intentional living. Anything the Bible said you find your hand doing, it said do it with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength. That's intentional living. If it's worth doing, it's worth doing good. And if it's not worth doing, no need wasting your time. So people who are not intentional are not responsible. People who are not faithful, that means they can't be committed to a cause. They are spontaneous. Today they are here, today they are there. You can't find them invested into anything. They are not responsible. So it takes intentionality. It takes faithfulness. And it takes accountability. It's not just that I've done something. What you have done, is it up to the mark? Is it up to the standard? And can you give account for it if need or demand is placed on you? That's what it entails. And so, any dimension of life, whether spirit, whether relational, whether social in your interaction with people, whether your civic responsibility to society, there must be intentionality. There must be faithfulness. And there must be accountability. If these things are not there, you are not responsible. Responsibility is not just that I have something doing. I have a job. No, that's not what we are saying. Responsibility is not just that I have a business. Yes, it begins with having something to do. Because the Bible says so, your hand must find something to do. But over and above having something to do, how intentional are you? How faithful are you? How accountable are you? This is the demand that scriptures place on us. Anywhere we go to, we should model the highest standard. Even when we are not being supervised. Those days when we were looking for jobs, one of the things you must always remember to add to your CV is ability to work with little or no supervision. That's accountability. It's required everywhere. The Bible said it's expected of a steward. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 2. That a man be found faithful. I'm telling you. This is even in church. There is gross responsibility. Church where we are conscious of God's presence. How much more outside church? This is why much can be committed to us. Sometimes, you know, Jesus said, don't commit holy things to the swine. Not because they are pigs in nature, but because of their irresponsible nature. He didn't say that because they are pigs. He said that because the pig nature makes them behave in a certain way. He said when you give them, they will trample it underfoot. So when people have no value, they can't be responsible. So responsibility speaks of value. Value that triggers deliberateness. Value that triggers faithfulness. Value that triggers accountability. And many Christians lack this in diverse aspects of their lives. Believe me, if you will become anything in this kingdom, or even in life generally, you must be responsible. So number one, find something to do. And number two, when you find something, be intentional, be faithful, and be accountable. These are the two basic things about responsibility. Find something, never be idle. You go read Matthew 25. In the morning, at the first watch, he found some people. He gave them what to do. The Bible said, at the third watch, he found another people. He said, what? Don't you have anything doing? They said, not. He said, come and walk. At the sixth watch, he went out again. He found, come and walk. Up until 5 p.m., he still found some idle people. He said, come and walk. So there should be no time when you are found without doing something. Any sphere where God puts you, you must become responsible there. By first of all, finding something. And then when you have found something, you are intentional. Don't wait to be motivated. You don't need a speech to do what you are doing well. Because the moment you need to be motivated, you cease being the leader. The person who has to motivate you is the leader. So if you want to be the head and not the tail, then you must be intentional. The one who motivates is the leader. The one who is motivated is the follower. So if you want to be at the top, be intentional. If you can't be intentional, I tell you, all your life you will serve. And there's nothing wrong in serving, except that there are cadres in service. Some are servants, others are sons. There's a difference. So quickly, what does it take? What does it take to become responsible? Number one, a genuine relationship with God. And I give you reasons why. Because, responsibility is a nature thing, and then it's a training thing. When you find people who are responsible, first of all, there is a nature that supports it. For instance, what I'm doing here, there's no way you can expect a baboon to do it. So there are things that can never be done if nature does not support. If you get a baboon to come here and preach, you are a joker. It doesn't have the nature that supports it. So when we are talking responsibility, first, there must be a nature context to it. That a man has the DNA to function in the area that you are apportioning. Then number two, he has to be trained, because competence matters in responsibility to be able to deliver. So there is a nature aspect and there's a training aspect. Both are achieved when you have a relationship with God. As you commune with God, His nature is imparted to you. First, as salvation, then continuously in intimacy. And then number two, you learn of him. Jesus said, learn of me. He said, my yoke is simple, my burden is light. So both nature and training are acquired in intimacy. And who can be the best example, mentor, role model, if not God himself? The word began with God taking responsibility. In the beginning, Genesis 1, from verse 1, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God showed up again, the Spirit of the Lord, moving upon the face of the waters. And God said, light be. He never came to lament. He came to solve problems. So he began solving problems as a responsible God. If you want to grow in responsibility, you must be intentional, faithful, and accountably connected to God in intimacy. Look at what Jesus said. John 15 verse 5. He said, without me, you can do nothing. The strength we draw in order to be responsible is drawn from our relationship with God. And remember, responsibility is not just what you do on your job. That's part of it. It's deeper because there's also spiritual context to responsibility. So you need a vital connection with God to be responsible. Paul said in Philippians 2:13, he said, it is God that worketh in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Paul said in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. So, responsibility is occasioned when you have a vital connection with God. Check your Bible. All the men that worked with God were responsible. That means there is something about our connectivity to God that provokes responsibility. He will not just inspire, he gives commands. He drives you to be responsible. Number two, what does it take to be responsible? A heart posture committed to obedience and accountability. Anybody who does not have the heart posture of obedience, anybody who does not have the heart posture of accountability, can never be responsible. If you find a man that any instruction given, he counters it, stop wasting your time. If you love him, pray for him. Come back, the job won't be done. You'll find a man who fails to do the job, and you try to correct, rebuke, or demand accountability, and he say, wait, he gives you 1,001 excuses. Don't waste your time. You have found somebody that will not just stop it from being done, he will stop others who were willing from doing it. So two dangerous people you will find if you want to do anything are those who are not obedient and are those who are full of excuses. Put them aside quickly, because if you are not strong, after a while, even you will become inactive. They will not just give you reason why it shouldn't be done. They will give you reason why you too shouldn't trouble yourself. Oh God, relax now. Are you building a new world? I bet this thing no easy. They will when you now agree with them, then they will laugh. Abba, you know now, Abba. If it's possible, Abba, if I do, I know. I read many years ago, I've forgotten who said it now. He said, that thing that you gave an excuse for, there are more than 1,000 people who can get it done. But it takes a heart posture. If the heart is not there, even if it is a simple task, it won't be done. But if the heart is there, even if it is difficult, you will do something about it. Even if you don't get it done, you will do something about it. So you find people who are responsible, it takes a heart posture. And I tell you, that heart is no more there. This is a generation where, tell somebody pick a pin, he charges you. No problem. If you must do it at a cost, that's fine. So long as you have the value. But you still pay them, they give you excuses. Somebody who works for me recently, I told him, I will never give you any job again, because he will never finish it. He will do the whole work. It will remain a hinge on the door. It will become stories. I say, you have a syndrome in you that doesn't get things done. And because of that, I will never, because I don't want you to impart me. Holy. Holy. Are you Lord God Almighty? What is the Lamb? What is the Lamb? You are holy. Holy. Are you Lord God Almighty? What is the Lamb? What is the Lamb? You know, when you sing songs like this, all you are thinking about is for me to be sinless like God. To be pure like Jesus. That's true. That's part of it. But that's not all. Did you read your Bible? God is not just sinless. God is responsible. When God started walking, there was no record that he rested. There was no record that he waited to relax. He was on the job for 6 days. He finished. He now said, and now God rested from all his works. You have not walked. What are you resting from? You say you want to be like God. You think holy like God is sinlessness only. It's part of it. Because you have to be responsible around your purity. But that's not all. How many of your jobs have you finished? God got his own finished before he rested. A new generation must be born. And it takes a heart. And many don't have it. In John 14:15, it didn't just say, keep my commandment. No. Even God knows we are not robots that just keeps commandments. He says, if you love me, then keep my commandments. That means obedience is a product of heart. So when people are not obedient, when people are irresponsible, check, number one, is it that they lack the training? Provide training. After you provide training, if they are still irresponsible, discipline them a little. Because they may be struggling with issues in themselves. Like lack of focus, lack of discipline. Now, when you discipline a little and they are still there, leave them. It means their heart is not there. If you love me, keep my commandment. Luke 6:46, Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord? When you don't do what I say. So if the heart is not right, no need. The guy can't do it. Most times people give excuses because their heart is not invested in the project. So when you find consistency in excuses, stop wasting your time. Look for a new person. Otherwise, you'll be stuck. Responsible Christianity. And this is from God's plane of reference. Number three, what does it take to be responsible? It's passion for service. Passion. When you see responsible people, there's an energy they have. Bishop Oedekpo was sharing. He said, somebody tell him, when do you rest? You know, people ask you questions, sometimes they're expecting the answer you should give. If they talk, they will say, when I'm tired. I don't have the right to be tired. Tired for what? When do you rest? They think he will say in the night. Reverend David Ogboili said, the difference between night and day is light. So if the job is not done and it's night, on light, continue working. You think people just appear. There is this mentality. When do you rest? Bishop said, when I'm finished. If I'm not yet finished, I have no right to give myself rest. He said, one of his teachers looked at him many years ago. Will this man kill himself? He's still here. All of them now call him father. Meanwhile, the people who have real work don't complain. It's the one who have nothing that are crying every day. I was listening to the documentary, and I'm not using this person. I won't call the name, so that I'm not using him as an example. One of the richest men in the world today, he said those days when they were doing coding, the whole night, they will code and set up network. And in the daytime, they will host it. And people will be using the network. At night, they will use the whole night to code. Daytime, they are there debugging. And people are... And he ran that for years. Because they were trying to host a network. Today, they are sending rockets to space. But they began with small network, local area network. Code in the night, host in the morning. People use it in the morning. When they are using it, you are debugging. You steal 2 hours and sleep. They were sleeping in the office. People don't appear, sir. They are responsible on their passion, on their purpose. See, they came to where they are. We are the one here talking grace. My grace is sufficient for you. Talking intervention. Talking God will show up. If God is showing up the way we expect, are we not going to become useless? Which father raises his child like that? You don't do anything for God to show up. Are you 1 year old? The things you were doing for your child when they were 6 months, 9 months, will you do it when they are 30 years? Irresponsible Christianity. And it's largely because we don't have passion. Jesus was speaking in Mark 10:45. He said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. There was a passion driving him. I must do the work of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man walketh. People who don't have passion in their spirit, a very little, they are the ones who assess themselves, appraise themselves, acknowledge the much they have done. Nobody is noticing. But they have done so much, and they expect the world to be clapping. Please, I beg you, these things I share with you, write them down. Make them your prayer point. Father, give me passion for something. I can't live like a mediocre. Look at your life. You are 20. You are 25. You are 30. You are 35. You are 40. What have you poured your energy into? What can you point at and say, this one, if I leave the earth today, this is what I have poured my energy in. And I can tell that it has affected humanity. How many things can you point at? If you left the earth today, what is your legacy? You are lost in the crowd and you are satisfied there. You must pray for God to give you a passion for something where you can burn and be burned for. Otherwise, what makes us different from the animals? Many have no passion. And if you have a passion, God recognizes it and rewards your responsibility along those lines. In Hebrews 6 verse 10, he said, God is not unjust to forget your labor and your works of love that you have shown. Jesus had the same passion. John 2:17 said, the zeal of my Father's house has consumed me. When he stood before Pilate, Pilate was telling him, I have the power to release you. He wasn't hearing him. He looked at Pilate. He said, you don't have that power except it has been given to you. And in case you don't know, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, I would have called. He said, but for this cause was I born. He said, for this cause came I into the world, that I may bear witness to the truth. There was a passion. He summarized his life by his passion. For this cause was I born. So it doesn't matter. He said, how am I stretched? That was Jesus talking. He labored night and day until his whole body was blistered. And Jesus himself exclaimed, how I'm stretched. And I will be stretched.
have a generation of people. Even when you are not doing anything, people are already hailing you. When do you rest? Hey, this thing. What have we done? People look at me sometimes, they say, Kai, man of God. Ah, what? Now, wow, more grace. When do you rest? I say, rest what? I'm going for a meeting. I'm flying. I'm sleeping on the aircraft. I relax. I'm praying. I go for the meeting. I finish preaching. Come back. I relax in the hotel. I fly back. They say, when do I rest? My whole life is rest, sir. How many hours did I preach for? You go ask Paul. People who were galloping on donkeys for hours. You go and ride on a camel for 2 hours. Nowadays, we even fly business class. Even economy is stretched. I don't want to sit for 10 hours. Meanwhile, these people rode on horseback. They rode on camels for weeks. I'm preaching to you now. See the microphone. See how loud it is. When Paul preached, there was no mic. And they preached to thousands. That means every time they preach, they shouted on top of their voice. Look at the volume of electronics there for me to talk to this small number. There's amplifier, there's keyboard, everything play. I say, when do you rest? Ogata, I'm resting. Don't clap me out of my destiny. I'm not saying kill yourself. But I'm saying, don't make yourself lazy by unnecessary accolades. If in the days of Paul, people could win hundreds of thousands of souls, you are in this generation where you have media to support. You have not won 10,000 souls. Don't you think you are playing? We need to wake up. He said the things that were written, Romans 15:4, they were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Patience and comfort of scriptures. But you need passion. Your passion is your fuel for destiny. Burn it on your purpose. Some people have run out of passion. Nothing moves them. Nothing motivates them. Even when you drag them into something that is worth living, they still can't find passion for it. One thing you must tell yourself is, I will never be the one to be motivated to do anything. I would rather be the one motivating others. I won't sit back for somebody else to stir me. I will stir other people. Your life will change drastically. Number 5. Dedication to personal growth. You can't do more than your level of development. My son is 3 years old. My first son. Even if he's wise and wants to help me, there are many areas he can't help me in. He's not grown. When he gets home, he carries spoon, carries handkerchief, stands in front of the TV, and is trying to mimic what I'm doing. Even if I'm tired here, he's the last person I will call. It's not about love, it's about maturity. Imagine if I say, I can't preach now. I leave Pastor Godwin, leave Pastor Frank, leave Pastor Jude, leave all these men here. Leave Pastor Atta, leave Brodami, leave Lucky, leave everybody. And then I give my son Mike. They are going to be wondering, are they acting drama? Is it for 2 minutes? What is he doing? Because it takes growth to be responsible. So person is good, but person, see, any area you want to be responsible in, know something there, just grow. When you grow naturally, you become responsible. So our irresponsibility in itself is a testimony, an attestation of our immaturity. Because those who are mature are responsible. In fact, one of the markers of maturity is responsibility. They prove that you are grown at the assignments you can handle. That's why when God gives you an assignment, He's telling you, I see you as mature. Unto us a child is born. Isaiah 9 verse 6. Nothing happened. Unto us a son is given. Things change. The government of this world shall be upon his shoulders. You don't give government to children.
You give government to the mature. He said the heir, so long as he's a child, Galatians 4:1, is not different from a servant. Even though he's Lord of all. But you can't allow him handle matters of state. It takes maturity. That's why scriptures admonish that we grow. In Hebrews 5:12-14, he said, whoever uses milk is a babe and is unskillful in the word of righteousness. Whoever uses milk. He said, for when ye ought to be teachers, you have need of being taught the first principles of the oracles of God. Whoever uses milk is a babe and is unskillful in the word of righteousness. That means the word of righteousness also requires skill. That's why Job said, I made a vow with my eyes not to look on the virgin. It's skill. It's not just at the righteousness of God and you are falling like chicken. You need skill. It says, for strong meat belongs to them who by reason of use, maturity. Strong meat belongs to them who are of full age, who by reason of use have exercised their senses to discern between good and evil. Responsibility. It takes maturity. So dedicate, commit yourself. Make effort by the Spirit to grow. We have too many infants. That's why when you come to church, miracle service is overflooded. But vigils are scanty. Evangelism is scanty. Because everybody is coming to eat. They are looking for the feast where God is supplying. But when God has an assignment, you can't find them. Because they are babes. And it shows you the picture of the body of Christ today. Is a movement of babes. Anywhere you find crowd, prophecy is happening, miracles are happening. And anywhere that is scanty, evangelism and prayer is what is happening. And most times we celebrate baby, the babies that we gather. And it doesn't profit God. Look at the church Jesus left. All of them, all, became witnesses. All. Not some. When Judas fell, they picked two people by lot. And they had the stature of the apostles. So long as you went in and out, you can be an apostle. If you are not, it's because God didn't choose you. They picked Judas fell. They said, come, let's cast a lot. Quack, 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 quack. Pick two people. Pray to God. Who is to pick this one? And Matthias had the same stature. Him too was Matthias. He didn't change his mind. We need to work on that. Don't hide in the multitude. Play your part. But you can't unless you are committed to personal growth. Number 5. Willingness. Willingness to stand in the gap for God and for man. If that willingness is not there, you can't take responsibility. You must have heard. You can take a horse to the river. You can't force it to drink water. Willingness. Many are not willing. Many are not willing. I love the way Paul put it. He said, necessity is laid upon me. Think that 1 Corinthians 9, around verse 14 to 18. Check it. Necessity is a woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. Woe unto me. That's willingness to take responsibility. Number 6. A sense of accountability. I've mentioned that already as one of the cause 2 Corinthians 5:10.
He said we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ.
All of us. That everyone may receive the things done in his body according to what he had done, whether it be good or bad. So while you were in the flesh, if everything you did, you will appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give you account. That sense of accountability is one of the things that provokes reward. Where you find responsible people, especially in spiritual context, is because at the end of time, they want to hear, thou good and faithful servant. If that's not a motivation for you, you will never be responsible. But some of us who know the implication, when we remember scriptures like that, it provokes us. It pushes us. In Matthew 12:36, Jesus said, everyone will give account of all he has done and all he has said. If they are idle words or wholesome words, everyone must give account. For it is expected of a steward, 1 Corinthians 4:2, that a man be found faithful. So you find responsible people, there is a consciousness of accountability. And accountability is in levels. You need to understand that. And I think it's sensitive, so I have to say it. That accountability is in levels.
Yeshua.
Those who are responsible are those, thank you, who have a sense of accountability. First to God. Romans 4:12. So then, each of us will give account of ourselves to God. Secondly, to spiritual authorities. Hebrews 13:17. Obey them that have rule over you, for they watch over your souls and must give account for you. And so that when they do, they will do with joy, for it is profitable unto you. Number three, to fellow believers. I'm accountable to you. Although I'm a spiritual authority over you, but I'm accountable to you. If I do anything that is not morally right, I lose the right to stand here to speak to you. Except as repentance and restitution is carried out. So we are accountable to one another. Galatians 6:1 to 2. Carry each other's body until we fulfill the law of Christ. It says in James 5:16, confess your faults one to another. So we owe that level of accountability. Number four, to civic authorities. You are accountable to the constitution of your country. You are accountable to the authorities that be, for they are ordained of God. You can't say, no, I don't care, I can do what I want. No, you can't, sir. The Bible says every authority that be is ordained of God. And it says if you violate them, they don't bear the rod in vain. So you are accountable. Let everyone, Romans 13, verse 1 and 2, be subject to the governing authority. Let everyone be subject unto the higher power or governing authority. It says, for there is no power but of God, and the powers that be are ordained of God. Accountability. And then finally, obedience or responsible Christianity. I beg your pardon. Is a function of Faithful stewardship. That's an inward character of your spirit. Faithful stewardship. Faithful stewardship. There are people that hate it for anything in their hands not to work. There are people that hate it for anything committed to them to fail. Even if there was no profit, as it were, so long as you say, this is committed to you, they will do all for it to work. It's a state of their spirit, man. It's called stewardship, faithful stewardship. Most people who are responsible, that's the disposition of their inner man. They are not even doing it because of you. First, because of God, and secondly, because they can't deny themselves. If it fails in their hands, they will almost not forgive themselves. And the Bible upholds such values. I quoted for you already from Luke 16, verse 10. That God expects us to be faithful, even in little. I quoted for you from 1 Corinthians 4, 2. That it's expected of a steward that a man be found faithful. So, responsible people are people that are naturally faithful. The Bible says, a faithful man who can find. That means there are men who are faithful. In fact, if you find faithful people that have loyalty in them, they are big treasures. There are two things that I must for anybody who must be committed authority, amongst other things. Number one is loyalty, which is the product of love and faithfulness. And number two is competence. When you find anybody that has these two qualities, that's one of the biggest blessings God has given to you, if you are heading a course. Because it's in some people. And there are people that rebellion is in them. I'm telling you, it's in them naturally. In fact, you will invest all the grace of God on your life to help them remove it. They don't even know. Find such people. If they are not leading, they are not involved. And the moment they are leading, they want to do it their way. Give them authority. They have problem with 20 people already. Everybody is wrong but them. They can command people. They can punish people. The day you give them one punishment, they are out. Rebellion. That's not responsibility. Because for every level of growth, God will check your rebellion. In the kingdom, one thing that can never be tolerated, even in heaven, is rebellion. When Satan rebelled, he was kicked out. So responsibility requires faithful stewardship. And so anybody who wants God to help him in these corridors, these seven things are a must for you. Write them down. Meditate on scriptures. I've given you very few scriptures. Go and search other scriptures on this subject. Study it and ask God to help you. Why? Because responsibility does not just improve your life. It really does. Most of you will attest that even on your job, every work committed to you educates you and improves you. It may be hard, but it will leave you better than it met you. I remember those days when my friend, I think 2-3 years ago now, let me not say those days, when my friend Godwin was made assistant exam officer in the university where he lectures. He looked like a plague. You mean you are going to collate not just exam officer of a level of the whole department? You are going to collate results, no room for error. You will vet, you will collate. It looked as if they hated him. But I'm sure the level of acuteness and precision that he had came from some of those things. Jobs don't destroy you. They leave you better. Because they will stretch you to your limit. So the first reason you must embrace responsibility is that it improves you. Because if you don't embrace that improvement, you will end in shame. Some of you who are here who don't read your Bible, if I say take a charge, the day you are taking charge, suddenly, you will go and dust your concordance and start merging scriptures together. Suddenly you will see the need to pray in tongues for 2 hours before coming for Bible study or Sunday. I think you just throw it to service. Why are you not praying before coming? Responsibility will put a demand. And so the more responsibility you carry, the more refined you become. So your best versions are a product of your responsible lifestyle. And then number two, it provokes reward. God does not reward your looks. Neither does he reward your salvation. He rewards your labor of love. So this is something those who are wise demand for, whether in the kingdom or outside. And then number three, it improves humanity. Because anything you do becomes a platform for somebody else to excel. And these are justifications for which you should be motivated enough, if you walk by motivation, to be responsible. I'm not dealing with the blessings of responsibility tonight because of time. In fact, I'm about to round up. Let me touch areas. Areas where God expects us to be responsible. Number one, it's in your spiritual development. Maybe that's the only one I can touch because of time. Your spiritual development. Second Timothy 2:15. Study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study to show yourself approved. So God wants you to be responsible through the totality of your spiritual life. That means as touching your spiritual life, God wants you to be intentional about that development. God wants you to be accountable in that regard, so that maturity is attained to the degree that you reflect Christ. So the first aspect of development or responsibility is your spiritual development or spiritual life. The second aspect of responsibility is in your mental faculty. Please be deliberate and be conscious, not only to grow the strength of your spirit, but also your mind. There are lots of things that God can do with you if your mind is limited. For as a man thinketh, so is he. So your mind is important. Ask yourself for a second. I don't know. This is just a presupposition. Peter walked with Jesus. John walked with Jesus. James walked with Jesus. But the document that was sent to us to use, only Paul wrote 14 chapters, 14 books. There are some who walked with Jesus that didn't send one. Now, they were powerful in their generation. I am not saying they failed. And I hope I'm not erring. I'm just trying to pray. That's why I said it's an assumption. I pray I don't err. But think about it. Paul, who didn't walk with Jesus, although he encountered Christ, we can't deny it. And he told us God revealed Christ in him. He didn't despise the apostles either. He said, I went up by revelation, presented my gospel to them so that I don't run in vain. But does it not occur to you? He was the one who had capacity to articulate certain emphases needed to build the church. Mentality has a part in this matter. You go read the writings of Paul. They are literally arguments of a lawyer. I was reading the book of Galatians 2 days ago. I couldn't drop it. I just marveled at the intelligence of the guy. He began by writing how that
He's an apostle. And his apostleship was not conferred on him by a man, that God called him. So he justified his authority as an apostle. He went further. He began to talk about where he was before God found him. How that he wreaked havoc on the church, but God discovered him and his life became a blessing. That so much so that the church spoke about it. Then he went number three. He started talking about the gospel he's preaching. How that no man taught him. That it was in Arabia that Jesus appeared to him. And God revealed this to him. It was put in him from his father's womb, activated in Arabia. Then he went number four. In case you will say I'm preaching my own message, he told us in chapter 2 how he went to present it to the apostles. And when they looked at it, they didn't find any fault. Are you see, this is an airtight argumenter. An intellectual talking. It's not just revelation. Those who will say, where did you get your message from? Jesus gave me. Because they may say, the people we see preaching were disciples of Jesus. Where are you from? He said, it's not only those who walk with Jesus in Galilee that knew him and encountered him. And in case you say, but this is your message, are you sure the apostles will approve it? I went to them. First, came back. 14 years later, I went again. I lived with Peter and James and saw few of the apostles. They vetted the gospel and approved it. He now finished. He began to now deal with the subject of the message. And he started this argument from Abraham. See, Ogarilazo, you can't go far if your mind is dull. He went to Abraham and began to argue that Abraham was not blessed because he kept the law. That Abraham was blessed before the law was given. And that the blessing that was given to Abraham, the law that came 14 centuries later, can't cancel it. And then he went further to tell us that the blessing of Abraham was not for Isaac. Because when God was speaking, he wasn't speaking about his seed. He spoke about his seed, which is singular. And he said, that seed is Jesus Christ. He went further to argue that whoever accepts Jesus has entered into Abraham's blessing. Because Jesus now is the gateway to that blessing. Is that an easy way of talking? Can those fishermen argue that? Oh God, relax though. This is a lawyer giving you a PhD thesis. He didn't stop there. He now told us, if you have accepted Christ, he began to argue how that what transforms you are not do's and don'ts, but the life that is in Jesus. That's why I said the heir, so long as he's a child, is not different from a servant. He said, but God gave the law so that when Christ comes, it will no longer be by the law, but by the grace that is in Jesus. And so when you receive that grace, it's the life that is put in you. So a new nature now regulates you. This does not undermine the law. But the law is now not a regulation that justifies you, but the life makes you live the law as your nature. So he argued from the promise to nature. And he said, in case you have Christ and you have not experienced it, he said, the key is for you to yield to the Holy Spirit. Argued from him as a sinner, called an apostle, giving a message. The message is vetted by other apostles, entered the promise of Abraham, proved that Jesus was that promise, proved that if you receive Christ, you are part of that promise, shows you that the reason you receive Christ is so that you don't live by rules and regulations, but that through grace, a life powers you. And that life is activated when you submit to the Holy Ghost. He rounded a book that you come forth. Whether you are Jew or Gentile, you come under. Law has a part, intelligence, analysis, critical thinking was what God breathed upon. I'm not saying Christianity is a move of intelligence, but I'm saying the Holy Ghost does a lot with a yielded mind. That was the argument. That's how it is in Romans. That's how it is in Ephesians. The guy will open the textbook and start an argument. Develop your mind, sir. It's not just if you don't believe Jesus, you will go to hell. Relax. The gospel is deeper than that. It's deeper than that. So be responsible in your mental development. I'm not saying learn physics to preach the gospel. I'm not saying learn mathematics. But I'm saying your mind must be refined. So you must be responsible in your mind. It speaks of your personality. It speaks of your ability to communicate in a wholesome manner if you allow the Holy Ghost to breathe upon it. Number three, be responsible with your body. Bodily exercise profits what? Little. That little is something. Because if you don't have that little, you will live here at 28. And I'm going to deal with all of these things. That's why I'm not touching them. I'm just mentioning them. Be responsible towards your spiritual development, your mental development, your bodily development. Number four, be responsible in your relationship with others. There's a way we ought to behave with one another. In all moral standard, in love and compassion, mutual respect. These are laws in scriptures. It said, deal with the younger woman as your sister in all purity. It said, exhort others more than yourselves. Mutual respect. Purity. There are standards for our relationships. And you must take that responsibility. And then number five, area of responsibility, in your service to God and His kingdom. If I tarry to come. 1 Timothy 3:15. That you may know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the ground and pillar of truth. So be responsible in the house of God. And I have taught you, basically, responsibility in the house of God is in prayer, in service, corporate service, in soul winning, in giving for kingdom advancement. These are the four basic responsibility requirements in the house of God. It takes your energy, it takes your time, it takes your resources. So you participate in prayer. You participate in the corporate service. You participate in giving for kingdom advancement. Because the worldly billionaire won't sponsor crusade. And then, you participate in soul winning and discipleship. And finally, area of responsibility to the state and the nation where you belong. Social or civic responsibility. Most of us think service, responsible kingdom living. If we talk about a responsible believer, it's about spirituality only. So we categorize everything about responsibility in prayer, in fasting, in study of the word. No, it's deeper than that. All of that is spiritual development. You need mental development. You need bodily development. You need relational development. Then you need core service in the house of God. Then you need civic responsibility. See, we need to begin to raise Christians who don't only have character, but who also have capacity through the principles of the kingdom to lead the world. We are not the light of the church. We are the light of the world. The time has come where Christians must take responsibility in governance. I will not be the one to tell you to join a political party. That's not my job. But I will show you principles. I will show you truths that makes you know that if you are not part of the governing leadership of your country, they will make policies that will short circuit the church. They will allow policies that will lead to society with immorality. They will bring corruption that will reduce the potential and the quality of people's lives. So that you wake up to your place there. Not all of us are apostles on the altar preaching that. Some of us are apostles in government. Some of us are apostles in the marketplace. Don't be responsible in church service and be irresponsible in civic service. All of them are important. You are not the light of the church. You are the light of the world. The church is the ecclesia. We make laws here through prayer. We make laws here through prophecy. We make laws here through doctrine. But when we have finished what we are doing here, all of us must enter our world and shine. Let your light so shine, not among brethren, among men, so that they see your good works and glorify your heavenly Father. Matthew 5:16. So go into the water. Jesus resurrected. He didn't say go and gather. They gathered together. He said go out. They went in the upper room. They locked themselves. This thing is no longer about church of wars. It's now church without wars. Step out there. So the Holy Ghost came and took them from the upper room into the market. They preached there, but it's beyond gathering to preach. The 11 stood up. What happened to the others? Eventually, some went to Antioch. Eventually, some became tent makers, like Gaius, like Aquila. Eventually, some of them became leaders. Today, if anybody starts speaking in tongues, he's ordained a prophet. If anybody starts speaking in tongues, he's ordained an apostle. No! It's not the fire in you that gives you a calling. The fire in you is for you to burn and reveal God. And you can do that as a businessman. We need prophesying senators. That's what I'm saying. We need prophesying billionaires. So that when they wake up, they enter the market with priesthood. They don't just go there with economics. Because the market is a jamboree of powers. Most of us don't know. Some people who come to the market dressed in suit, check them out in the spirit. They are carrying a bag from the harvest. They are carrying tongues that are pierced with iron. So when you go there, see, enough is enough. Don't run to pastor and say, somebody shook me, I was paralyzed. Okay, you too carry power there. When they shake you, shake them. Let power join power so that they will convert big men to God. We are not raising people. I won't teach you economics. No, that's not my job. But I will teach you how to carry Christ to wherever you go. You must walk with Christ so that He shows you where you go. And if it's in the economy, the word is occupy till I come. Occupy till I come. Occupy till I come. If it's in the academia, occupy. If it's in media, occupy. If it's in government, occupy. If it's in the economy, occupy. So there is church responsibility. And there are church responsibilities, and there are also civic responsibilities. Vote and be voted for. Participate in trade and investment. Participate in geopolitics. Write laws from Senate chamber. We don't have witnesses. They go to the Senate, make a law in 1 week. We pray for 2 years to change it. And we say, VG is hot. No, sir. No, sir. Let's have people there that say, no, I object. Let's have people raising disciples there. You go check the source of the bond woman. Every sector you know of, they have people in every category. What strategy do we have about the army? How many generals are in the military that can come together and say, let's hold hands and pray for the security of the nation? See, we can pray from here. We can prophesy. But the generals are the leading apostles in the military. They are the ones who know the security matters. They know, see, how the deepest revelation about security will be given to them. How many are being groomed? You'll be shocked that the source of the bond woman can tell you how many lieutenant generals they have, how many major generals, how many brigadier generals. They can give you their numbers. How many colonels, how many lieutenant colonels, how many captains. They can give you the rank down. They can tell you where they are located. That's how you take over, sir. And the idea is not to seize power and to trigger any form of revolution in the natural. No, The ask there is to establish the kingdom of Christ so that integrity, love, justice, equity can become the order of the day. Do you know how many realtors in this country who can sit on 250 hectares of land and say, listen, we will bring a new civilization? How many do you know? We are planting church. We are taking over church when we should take over the world. Our greatest glory now is the sizes of our churches. And I'm not against big churches, because the more the disciples multiply, the bigger the building will be. But that's not our focus. How many territories are we taking? And when we say territory, it's not landmass. There are spheres of influence. Economic sphere, academic sphere, governmental sphere. It's our civic responsibility. We should have people from our congregations who can stand up today and say, there's an economic summit. We will wear jean and shirt, go and sit down and see what God is doing with them. And they gather captains of industries and teach them biblical principles. And say, listen, do business, but do it with integrity. When they finish showing economic principles, they show kingdom principles. You don't have to compromise to make it in business. Let them talk to them about the wisdom of the Holy Ghost, that the Holy Ghost can inspire. Let them talk to them about grace that God can enable. And their lives to be an evidence enough for these people to know what they are saying is not talk. You see other religions of the world, from Hinduism to Islam and the rest. And I'm not trying to call them to make them look as if they are better than us. But you can't find them anywhere without the identity of where they came from. So they see themselves as apostles to those corridors. Please, catch fire, but carry your fire to the market. Some of those prophetic words, I know God can give you a prophetic word for the church, but use some and find a land and take over a region, so that you can establish something for God. Use some and look for strategic position in power. Joseph used wisdom to deliver Egypt, and in the process, Israel was delivered. Daniel used wisdom to disciple kings in Babylon. This is a generation where power of God only moves in church. Prophecies are only given in church service. Impartations only happen in church. Meanwhile, the people from the shrine, they do their own impartation in mission field. Somebody is going to present a bill in the Senate chamber. For 3 days, he chooses to speak. And when he reads it, nobody opposes it. Where are the men who will speak in tongue and go and present a bill and it will be passed? That's why when we enter the market, we throw Christianity away. Our Christianity is only active on Sunday. Meet people in the market on Monday. When they talk, you wonder whether they have ever been accepted Jesus. Because we taught them that when you are coming to church, carry your Christian mantle and wear it. Act pious, act spiritual. When you leave church, remove it, throw away, become yourself. See, I prophesy over you. Some of you listening to me, in the next 2 years, in the next 5 years, you'll be the one shaking the economic sphere. In the next 5 years, you'll be the one shining in governmental corridors. In the next 5 years, you'll be the one shaking the media. You'll be the one shaking the academia. In the name of Jesus Christ. Down for a moment. Grace is not only for praying for blind people. Anointing is not only for raising cripples.
Nehemiah had an anointing. Esther had an anointing. Joseph had an anointing. Daniel had an anointing. They were never in church. They lived all their lives in mission field and in the marketplace. Wake up. Spiritual development, mental development, bodily development, relational development, development and participation in church service, and then civic responsibilities. These are six areas that you must be impactful and responsibly committed to if you will be a holistic believer. I won't go to the government, sir. But if you hear this truth and take it there, you will represent Jesus. It will be your platform. We're out of time. I will just list spiritual responsibility, and then you go and develop them. At least let me deal with one. When next I come, I will now deal with the last one. Civic responsibility. Because those are the two areas where people really don't know much about. I'll do expositions on the life of Joseph, the life of Nehemiah, the life of Esther, some of the prominent figures that represented Jesus in different spheres, so that we can glean from their lives. If you want to develop your spirit or your spiritual life, number one, you must take responsibility in the place of prayer. Luke 18 verse 1, men ought always to pray and not to faint. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. If you don't pray, you can't grow in God. Because prayer is not just about asking and receiving things. It's about becoming acquainted with and to the voice of God. And that acquaintance helps you to access dimensions in God. Jeremiah 33 verse 3. Ask of me, I answer. But beyond answering, I show you great and mighty things that you know not of. So anybody who wants to develop his spirit or responsible towards his spirit must become responsible in prayer. I'm not saying every time you pray, shout. I'm just saying maintain communion with God. He said the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Spirit should rest and abide with you. Number two, responsibility towards the world. Acts 6 verse 4. We will not give ourselves to tables. We will give ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the world. You must be committed. My son, Proverbs 4:23. If you read from verse 20, attend to my words. Give thy ears to my sayings. Let them not depart from thy eyes. Put them in the midst of your heart. They are life to them that find them, and health to all their flesh. Guard your heart with all diligence. Out of it are the issues of life. You must be committed to the word if you want to develop your spirit. Until I come. 1 Timothy 4:13 and 15. Give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. Give thyself wholly to these things. Your profiting will be made manifest to all. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You have to. From the days of thy youth. 2 Timothy 3:15. Thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which is able to make thee wise unto salvation. So you want to grow? Commitment to the word. Number three.
You must be responsible towards fellowship and fellowshipping with believers. Hebrews 10:24-25. People who underrate our gathering, they don't become. Ask yourself. Sometimes the things you learn about God from one service is more than what you learn in 1 month on your own. So you despise the fellowship of the believers, you do it at your peril. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. Verse 25, he said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, so much so as the day approaches. You want to grow? Be committed. Be fused to the gathering of believers. And that's not all. When you come, be responsible in the area of stewardship. Do something. Pray. Serve. Give. Don't just be idle. You are not a spectator. You are a participant. This is your Father's house. So number four is responsible stewardship. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1 and 2. It says, let a man account of us as ministers of God and steward of the mysteries of Christ. For it is expected of a steward that a man be found worthy. Gather together, very important. It helps your growth. But when you come, don't be idle. Woe to him that is at ease in Zion. Woe to him. Don't be at ease in Zion. Find something doing in Zion. So it's not enough that you have gathered. Yes, there's a blessing. In Psalm 133, verse 1 to 3, it says, behold, how beautiful, how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in harmony. It's like the oil on the head of Aaron that flows to his beard, to his skirt. So what Aaron experiences, the guy at the skirt will also experience. That's the beauty of corporate worship. The energy, the word, the anointing is available to everybody in same proportion. To fetch as much as they can. It's like the dew upon Mount Zion. There the Lord commands his blessing. So you grow in fellowship, but much more participate. There is something you can do. If you are not praying, be serving. If you are not serving, be giving. But by all means, play a part. Ensure that the corporate fellowship is possible because of your contribution. It's called stewardship. One person can't do all, but everybody must do something. Number four, you want to grow? You must be responsible in receiving and applying prophetic instructions. God taught me one of the biggest coverings that does not just grow but protect believers is their responsibility towards instructions. Do you know why many believers become casualties? They take for granted spiritual instruction. In Hebrews 13:17, obey them that have rule over you. You submit yourself to them. They watch over your soul. That means if you don't obey prophetic instruction, you can't be watched over. And it's not just about watching. Acts 16:32, help me check it quickly. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance amongst them which are sanctified. When instructions come, they build you. That's why those who are wise and serious about their spiritual development, when they receive any instruction, they commit themselves wholly. They know their development, their future in God depends on it. You didn't bring yourself here. You were led here by the Holy Ghost. And he knows there are things that will lead here to change your life. That's why he led you here. He knows where you are going. I don't know. So he brought you. If you want to be a military officer, you don't go to the school of economics. The instructions are different depending on where you are going. The one who brought you because he knows that what is communicating from the altar here can change you. You take it for granted at your peril. Any soldier who despises instruction, we discover the danger in war front. They say, do press up, run, jump, you don't want to. When you go to war, your life depends on it. If you don't jump, you are shot dead. You want to grow? Commit to prophecy. Commit to spiritual instructions. Many have become casualties because they take prophecies for granted. They take spiritual instructions for granted. Believe in the Lord your God. 2 Chronicles 20:20. So shall ye be established. Believe his prophet, so shall ye prosper. By a prophet he brought them out of captivity. By a prophet they were preserved. Telling you why many don't grow. Number 5. You want to grow? Take responsibility in yielding to the Spirit. What we are doing is transmitting what the Holy Ghost is doing. But the Holy Ghost is not limited to me. He has a personal relationship with you. So you, if you must grow, must yield to him. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, not by the pastor, they are the sons of God. Now you know there's a difference between a son and a child. You became a child when you were born again. You received God's life. You became a son when you mature enough to be entrusted with kingdom. And it takes the leading of the Holy Spirit. As many as are led by the Spirit. Romans 8:14. They are the sons of God. So if you want to grow, yield to the Spirit. In Galatians 5:16, it said, if we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. So the Spirit is the one that grows us up. There are too many people who are not responsible. The Holy Ghost speaks, they don't obey. He inspires, they don't act. So they either provoke him or they quench him. Don't get to a point where the Holy Ghost is quenched in your life. Because he said the Spirit of God will not strive with man forever. But they quench not the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. So you can quench him. And if you quench him, you stop growing. Because he came. He came to guide you to all truth. I have many things to give you. John 16:13. You can't have it. He said, but when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. So he's the one that leads you there. And when he leads you, you will find pasture. Number 6. Take responsibility to guard against sin, temptation, and Satan. If you want to develop your spirituality or your spiritual life, guard against sin. Guard against Satan. Guard against temptation. If you avoid temptation, you avoid sin. If you avoid sin, Satan will be powerless in your life. If they flee youthful lust that wages war against your soul, flee. In Ephesians 4:27, it says, giving no place to the devil. Resist the devil. 1 Peter 5:5-6. He will flee from you. James 4:7. Resist the devil. Humble yourself before God. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. So raise the standard in grace and by the Spirit against Satan. There are many people who are not growing because they expose themselves to temptation. I told you I just came from Dubai. Step down from the hotel. People are dressed naked. Is that a place for sightseeing? I looked at my window wall. Where is this? Sodom and Gomorrah. I went back. Pastor Sonny went with me. The first day, as we came down for breakfast, I didn't even know why. I hardly eat breakfast. Maybe the energy of Dubai. They dragged me down to eat breakfast. I look left, look right. I said, where is this place? They say, it's the 5 Palm Jemeirah Hotel. You know Jemeirah? It's the island that is like palm. So all kinds of creatures come there. I put my head like this. I ate. When I finished, I went up. I was there till it was dark. When they carried me to put in a tinted glass to go and preach. When I came back, I went. Some of you are strong. That's why you can afford pornography. You are strong people. You are in a way. You go to Concord. In the evening, they buffet all kinds of iniquity. And you say, we have the mind of Christ. He had the mind of. You will fall in a pit. If God comes there, they will do a requiem mass for you. Did you read about Joseph? He fled. He fled. Run from temptation.
Because you are a processor. It's not about you acting as a macho man in front of it. Pictures are recorded. Voices are recorded. You know what happens? Your soul will chew on them. And the day when you are under attack, you will discover that the serpent has become a dragon. That's why some of us, when we collide with it by accident, we go and uproot it. It's a casting down imagination. Every high standing thing that opposes itself above the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity all things to the obedience of Christ, so that when your obedience is fulfilled, you can avenge. Casting down, casting down, casting down. I heard evil, I saw evil. You know what the Bible said? Flee from every appearance of evil. But when I saw it by mistake, I go to my closet and I connect with the one that journeys into the heart of man. He said the spirit touches the deep things of the heart. He can do a surgery there. I use the word of God. I chew on it. You know why? Because the word is like a double-edged sword. It pierces. It divides asunder the thought and the intent of the heart. So the word can enter. For how can a young man keep his way? By taking heed unto thy word. Thy word have I put in my heart, that I should not sin against you. The Bible says, walk in the spirit. You shall not fulfill the desires of the flesh. He is the Holy Ghost. Aroka Valentana. The Hila Caparado Caparaca Tiata. The Hinga Paragato. Can you pray the Holy Ghost for 1 minute? Take a Paraca Paparodia Taya. Sakipa Capapora Capapadone. Saruta Capaparote. Tere Capatia Caparacado. He's the Holy Ghost. He's the Holy Ghost. He's the Holy Ghost. Spirit of age to come. You have to be responsible towards your spiritual life. You see, I looked through the window, I saw a young man void of understanding. Oh, there are many young people in the spirit who are void of understanding. He said he took the way that led to the house of the harlot. For the harlot enticed him and said, come, my husband is journeyed to a far land. I've covered the beds with rubies. He said, come. He said, that path is the path of death. Many found it and they never returned. You will not find or wander in the path of death. You will not wander. You will not wander. Sons are not wanderers. We are led by the Spirit. We are led. Please take responsibility for your spiritual development. We are out of time. But last 2 points. Number 6, be committed to witnessing. When you witness, you mature. Because you give what you carry. My little children. Galatians 4:19, of whom I travail again in prayers until Christ is formed in you. When you start winning souls, you mature. Have you not seen young ladies who got married, gave birth to 3 children? You look at them 7 years later, they look as if they are 2 times their age.
the weight, the burdens of travail, confers maturity. When you start winning souls, even on the journey, you see that God walks closer with you to give you words, to give you inspiration, to give you strategy, to impart you with powers. That's why people who are serious about growing, they are committed to winning others. The more you give out, the more you are saturated. And then finally, you must commit to accountability. Iron sharpeneth iron. As a man, the countenance of his friend. They that are strong, Galatians 6, 1 and 2, should be the burdens of the weak. When you are accountable, you are secured. Him that walketh with the wise is himself wise. So be accountable to brethren, be accountable to spiritual authority, and be accountable to God. Don't run and hide when you fall. Is that the right phrase? If you fall, not when you fall, because we are not expecting you to. Don't hide. Iniquity thrives in secret. In fact, if you are wise, when you are overtaken by a fault, run to those who are stronger. Because there is a law already that those who are stronger should help the weak ones when they are overtaken by a fault. I know some Christians are wicked. When you share your vulnerability, it becomes news. Discern who to go to. There must be one person that can help you stand. Simon, Simon, Satan desires to have you, to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you. He said, when thou hast recovered, strengthen thy brethren. There are some who are strong. We are not all weak at the same time. When you are weak, standing beside you is another man who is strong. That thing you are falling to, God delivered somebody from it a moment ago. If you are accountable and you are sincere, you won't fall. But when you hide iniquity, even God will hear you. Can you lift your hands and pray? Ask for grace. Grace to be responsible. Grace. Grace. Is there where sin abounds? Grace abounds much more. The eyes of the Lord, if they watches to and fro the earth, looking for the weak that he might strengthen them. If you will pray genuinely, God will release grace tonight. Can we go ahead and ask? Can we go ahead and ask? Can we go ahead and ask? He is the Holy Ghost. He is the Holy Ghost. Decree over you the grace and the powers that compel responsibility. Let it rest upon your life from tonight. Your life will not be wasted. Your destiny will count. You will make your mark in your generation. Nothing will make you to falter. Nothing will make you to fail. By the power of the endless life, I decree and declare, let there be stability and consistency, intentionality, faithfulness and accountability in your walk with God. In Jesus' mighty name. For those of you that distraction is making a mess of, receive grace to rise above that level. I say, receive grace to rise above that level. Those of you that lost is making a mess of, receive grace to rise above that level. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. We give you glory. In Jesus' precious name. Come on. Give Jesus a big hand. Come on.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233 26 767 6055. +233 26 767 6055. Or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.